Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown. Oh my God.
The mark of fantasy excellence.
It's caught for a touchdown.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
All right, welcome back for hour number three of Roto Experts in the morning. We're on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, giving you a preview of the NL East. We were just talking a little Phillies action here with George. We were talking a little Cesar Hernandez, Scott Kingery. Of course, they just added as well who is considered the top catcher in baseball, George, JT Realmuto.
Yeah, Realmuto is interesting, right? Because I think he is the top catcher in baseball. I do. I know we keep beating this to death, but this ballpark's a bandbox, especially compared to what he was hitting in. Mm-hmm. So I've, my last couple of drafts, I've come around to the conclusion that maybe he's not such a bad early pick. Well, mainly in two catcher leagues, not in one catcher leagues.
That's the key, yes.
Right. In one catcher leagues, I'll wait forever. I'll take Robinson Chirinos in the last round. I don't care. But in two catcher leagues, I get it. You know, maybe he does give you a significant advantage, but it still comes down to, you know, catchers. They get hit with foul balls. They get hit with bats. They get hit with runners. They have to squat a million times during the summer where it's, you know, blazing hot in Philadelphia, very hot. And it takes a wear and tear on their body, and they're going to get one day off a week. You know, it's sort of like taking a tight end early in football. That's what it reminds me of. Is it worth it to do that? You know, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I do have Realmuto in at least two leagues that I can think of. One is, once again, where I drafted him as a minor leaguer. You know, so he came up through the minor leagues. That's funny. I hate catchers. Yet in that league, that RotoWire 40-man league, I have Realmuto and Sanchez. Once again, drafted them both as minor leaguers. And so when they graduated, hey, I had two great catches. Worked out for me. It's funny how that league works. And it's funny that I would have these two
when
players.
When they graduated.
That's right. When they graduate. You know, so and they graduated with honors for me. Sanchez better have a good year this year. I'm torn here. I don't like taking catches early. I just don't, for all the reasons I mentioned. You know he's going to get 20 games off. And Realmuto, think about it, won't have the option. In Miami, they would sometimes give him a half day off. Yeah, where he didn't catch, but he played first base. That's not going to happen in Philadelphia. You got Hoskins there. You know, when he gets his day off, he's getting his day off. So I do worry about that somewhat. Bottom line is this. I did try it in a league or two. Yeah, one was a mock and one was a live league. So I do have Realmuto in two live leagues. But I have to admit, and when I the league I did take him in, I still don't mind my team. Sometimes I hate my team and I take a catch early. I didn't mind my team. But I still feel like I did the wrong thing. Because I passed up on a regular everyday player. Maybe it works out for me. Yeah, maybe it doesn't. I think it really comes down to your comfort level here. There's nothing wrong with the player. I think, would it shock me if he hits 30 home runs this year? No. Bats over 300, none of this would shock me. I think he's going to have a bang-up year. And if he does, then it worked out fine. But I did give up another very good player for him. He has to have that kind of year. Yeah, this is one of those things where, you know, sometimes, Joe, when we make the analysis, it doesn't work out, all right, fine. Everything I did was correct. The results were wrong. That happens in what we do. This is where it has to work out for me, because if Realmuto doesn't work out for me, then I knew better. I knew better than to do it. This is my fault. So I took a little bit of a chance here, a little bit of a gamble, which generally I don't like to gamble. I just don't. I like to stay with my draft philosophy and go with it. It works for me. And I know how I'm going to draft. Generally, my draft is competitive. You know, it's good draft. And now my draft will always – the draft can't win you or generally lose you a league. You know, your draft is your draft. It can lose you if you're terrible, but it can't win you a league. It's right. a good starting point. Now, that's the way my draft always is. It's always the moves you make during the year and staying healthy. That are really those two most important things. One, obviously, you can't control. One, you can control.
Yes.
So, but Realmuto to me is a little bit of a gamble here. I've gone away from my strategy, away from my comfort zone. Right now, I had to change things up. And I'm curious to see how this thing ends up. I am. So, I really don't have any issue with somebody taking Realmuto in round five or whatever it might be. But, it still makes me a little nervous.
Yep, and by far, especially in two catcher leagues, I mean, you know, there's just nothing out there. We keep on saying this week after week. But like you, I'm conservative when it comes to, you know, constructing my team. You know, any hint of an injury, I avoid the players. So we share that. But, hey, you know, you don't like to gamble on creating your fantasy team, but you'll put a bet on a game or two. I've heard that about you, and you'll be talking to Cam Stewart about that. A weekend fantasy update coming up.
Ironies of my life.
Exactly, right? So before we move on for the Phillies, starting pitching, Aaron Nola, basically he's moving into that top tier. I don't know if he's already made it into your top tier, George, because I know you like the tier. But no questions about drafting Nola. Jake Arrieta, supposedly he was pitching hurt last season, lost a couple of miles off his fastball after 2016. Really hasn't gotten it back. But I guess more we'll say call him an innings eater. But I wanted to talk about Nick Pivetta, what you thought about him. 4.77 ERA last year. ERA estimators like FIP and XFIP put it his ERA just under four. You know, his line drive rate against went down, which is about a percentage point. So that's a good thing. There's some good things to look at when you look at his peripheral numbers. His chase rate against went up by about 3 percentage points. The swinging strike rate went up. Average velocity slightly higher. What are we thinking about Pivetta? You thinking maybe a little upside out of Pivetta this year?
Sure. The problem with the pitch in Philadelphia, you need to be great to really survive that ballpark. You know, Nola is that pitcher. I think he can survive the ballpark. You know, a Max Scherzer type DeGrom, they could survive any ballpark where they'll be okay here. I don't know if Pivetta is that kind of pitcher. So his ERA, his ratios are always going to suffer a little bit because of the ballpark he plays in. You know, so that's a problem for me. You know, that's just a problem. That's why he goes where he goes. I do think his value probably could be 2-3 rounds better if he was pitching in Washington or, you know, Citi Field, you know, a pitcher's ballpark. But he's pitching in one of the best hitters' ballparks in the majors. It's probably top five. I mean, really, what ballparks would you take over Philadelphia to hit in? Colorado, of course. Texas, sure. After that, they're right up there with anybody else. I mean, people are going to say Yankee Stadium, but Philadelphia hits well to all fields, not just right field.
Right.
Center and left, too. You know, that's why Fenway, sure, we got the monster, but Fenway plays pretty neutral once you go away from the monster there. Same thing with Yankee Stadium. Philadelphia is plus all fields. All fields. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever the White Sox call their home stadiums now would be one of the top five as well. Toronto, the ball flies out of there.
Sure.
You know, Camden Yards. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's one. Bottom line, it's one of the best parks to pitch in, which is why I tend to avoid their pitchers. To hit him, by the way. I tend to avoid their pitches outside of the great ones. Like I said, Nola, I have no problem with Nola. Everybody else, I have an issue with. They get downgraded a little bit for me because of that ballpark.
Good point. So let's take a look at the Phillies bullpen. Gabe Kapler, interesting use of his bullpen last year. They added David Robertson, but I don't think there's any guarantee that he's going to be the main closer. But you're the closer guru. You got to tell us. You still have Sir Anthony Dominguez, Hector Neris, Pat Neshek. These guys have all got saves last year. So what do you think that? How does this bullpen in Philadelphia break down?
Well, Neshek's no threat to anybody. You're not worried about him. Neris is a failed closer. Yeah, you know, so that odds are he's okay. Sir Anthony Dominguez is probably a better pitcher than Robertson. The problem is he can't go back-to-back days. At least he couldn't last year. That was his big issue last year. On the first day, he was lights out. No one was touching him. Second day in a row, all of a sudden, he's just a completely different pitcher. Now, once again, he's a young player. Maybe he will have figured out whatever the issue was, stamina, strength, whatever it might be, and he fixed it during the offseason. Like I said, I don't think there's much doubt in my mind that Dominguez is a better pitcher at this point in their careers than Robertson. But Robertson's done this before. He's been successful before, had a solid year with the Yankees the last couple of years. I think this is Robertson's job to lose. You know, if I'm drafting, I'm certainly drafting Robertson. And he's going way too late. I got sniped the other day in a draft. I was annoyed that he was like around 15, 16. He was still there. I didn't even need a closer. I'd already had two lockdown closers, and he was still there. And I was, I'll take a
closer. Can never have too many, right?
Yeah. Right, can never have too many. You know, at the very least, he protects your ratios. But he went. But like I said, people don't trust him. You can wait a little bit longer to get Robertson. I think he'll be fine. I do. Mm-hmm. And is there some gamble? Absolutely. You know, because Robertson could fail. You know, Dominguez gets a shot there. Things haven't worked out. Philly seems to have closer problems for a while now. Maybe, once again, it's the ballpark. You are going to give up some home runs, and they could tie some games here. But I'm comfortable with Robertson as my second to third closer.
Gotcha. So what are we thinking about this over-under win total for the Phillies? And I guess it's similar in terms of these better teams are just going to beat each other up a little bit. But 89 is the over-under win total for the Phillies. Do you like the over or the under in this?
To let you know how crazy this is, Cam and I were talking about the Philadelphia Phillies and their over-under at least a month ago. And it was 83 at one point. That's how much has gone up over the past couple of over the past month. And 83, I'm like, I love this. I'll take the over easy at 83. Yeah. Easy at 83. Mm-hmm. Because I knew, most of us knew that Philadelphia was going to sign one of Harper or Machado. And yeah. I thought they'd sign one. And I thought they'd sign Keuchel or Kimbrel as well. And it seems like they're not going to do that. But I thought they would sign one of those two as well, and I love the over. So I took the over at 80, I think it was 83.5. Now we're at 89. Boy, if there's one team in this division that I do like them to win, I'll take Philadelphia. I'll go over here. I think they do win this division. I think they win 91, 92 games here. So I'll take the over. But it's a decently high number for the Philly, but I'm going to go with the over.
Why do you like them better than the Nationals? Is it the offense or just a feeling? I mean, because it could be a feeling. I think they're pretty evenly matched.
Well, the offense is good. They're going to hit. They're just going to hit. You probably like the Nationals starting staff more, right? Because Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, that's a nice top three. Philly can't match that. You might say Philly has a better overall staff. You know, we had Eflin and Velasquez, certainly some upside there, better than Sanchez and Helixson for Washington. So you certainly might like that better here. The bullpens, you know, they're probably about even. Robertson, Dominguez, Doolittle, Rosenthal, you know, nearest there. Might give a slight edge here to Philadelphia in the bullpens. I think they're both good teams. I just think Philadelphia, I think they're going to I like what they've added. You add Harper. There's so much buzz going on here. You move Hoskins back to where he should be. McCutchen, Segura. I do think they're a pitcher short of being a dominant team. Yeah, once again, a lot of teams could say this. There's no aces out there to go get. But a lot, that's their issue here. The biggest, I think they'll hit, Washington will pitch. You know, so it's a combination of what you want there. I think they'll both be close. I think it's going to be a great divisional run here. You throw in the Braves here, the Mets, who we're going to talk about in a bit. I think the National League East is going to be a blast this season.
Yeah. You mentioned Keuchel. Where the heck do you think this guy ends up? I mean, Gio signed the minor league deal with the Yankees, right? He has that option there. If he's not on the roster, what is it? Is it April 20th, I think? Can he opt out? I think that, but look, I mean, Keuchel, man, I know he's probably working out, but there's no, without being on a team and working with a pitching coach and whatnot, I mean, this is getting concerning for Keuchel, no?
Extremely concerning. All right, we do know he's well. We assume he's working out as well as Scott Boras' agent say threw an 80 pitch game the other day. Blah 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 blah. What's he gonna say? What was the analogy used? He's eating cupcakes. He's not gonna say that. Of course, he's gonna say he's working out. He's in great shape. That's what his job is. Whether he's lying or not. As for Keuchel, the problem is right now it's March 24th. You sign Keuchel now, you're not getting him till May. I don't care. You know, we saw Gio Gonzalez was working out, too. He got lit up. He got crushed yesterday in a Grapefruit League game for the Yankees. So he's not ready yet. It's going to take some time. Where is he going to end up? I don't know. I just don't know. Right now, it might take an injury. to on a contending team where he goes there. I do wonder if that's it, Joe, where he needs an injury right now. His contract demands were they were out of whack for his type of pitcher there. They always were. And I don't think that's changed any there. So I think he's got some problems. I think he needs an injury from somebody.
All right. Well, move on to your favorite team, the Mets, who finished last year 77 and 85. They're over under, I have, is 85 and a half. Team that obviously, just like the majority of the NL East, has some chance to make some noise here. I liked what they came out with what they did with Pete Alonso, where he's going to start the season in the bigs. But you know, as far as I could find out, I didn't see any indication as to whether or not they've just given him the first base job and how much Dominic Smith might. You know, Mike, how many at-bats he might get. I mean, have you seen anything with that in terms of is Alonso just going to be the everyday first baseman?
You know, it's funny. I think the Mets may have made a mistake here. And generally, I'd be on the other side of this. I think Alonso's ready. No doubt he's ready. But I would have kept him down to get that extra year, mainly because then you could have Dominic Smith play every day and maybe establish some trade value here. You know, instead, I imagine Alonso's going to play over Smith. I mean, he's the better player. And now Smith just rots on the bench, and once again, no trade value. This is what I would have done if I was the Mets. I think, it would, once again, two birds, one stone. You know, you keep him for the extra year, the service time thing with Alonso, even though I truly don't worry about this sort of thing, and it might be fixed in the next CBA anyway. But you keep him for the extra year with Alonso, and you try to build up Dominic Smith, who's having a very – a solid spring training, good spring training. You know, so that's what I would have done here if I was the Mets. They didn't. I don't mind them using Alonso, by the way, because you're going to play him. I think this division is going to be close enough where you want your best players on the field full time here, and Alonso is that player. You know, you don't want to miss the play. You don't want to miss the playoffs by a game and realize, oh, you know, we didn't start Alonso for 3 weeks. We would have had him in those 18 games. We might have won that game, which is true. You know, so I get that too. So in some ways, the Mets couldn't go wrong here.
Yeah, and I know it's always a business decision in terms of when these teams decide whether or not they're going to actually start the season with these youngsters on their starting opening day roster. But you know, taking a young player out of their comfort zone. I mean, they're used to being with the same guys, right? And then all of a sudden they have a hot spring, and then having them start the season down in AAA, I think it could just really throw a monkey wrench into things for them. But I know it's a business. It's a business, George.
It is. We hear that all the time, right? It's a business, and it certainly is.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we'll continue breaking down the Mets. Listening to the Roto Experts in the morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Bring us back. This is Molly Hatchet, right, George?
No idea.
Flirting with Disaster? I like this tune. All right, we're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the morning. Joe Galina, George Kurtz, Sean Engel breaking down the NL East. We're talking Mets. We were just talking with Pete Alonso. I was looking at the Mets outfield here, and I didn't realize what an OBP beast Brandon Nimmo was. Last year, 2018, 263 batting average, 17 home runs, 9 stolen bases. I believe in my TGFBI, I got sniped on him because he's going late. But when you look at what he has had an opportunity to provide you with, some power, a little speed. Last year, 404 on-base percentage. A pretty decent player there, George.
Oh, no, he is a pretty decent player with some upside there. He's also a guy last year watching the Met games who's going to get himself killed. Because if he keeps leaning that elbow in and taking those hit-by-pitch on purpose, someone's going to throw about him. Right. It's just going to be a matter of time until that happens here. And I think it was at least one, maybe two instances last year where the umpire didn't award him the base because of what he was doing. So it became very, very obvious that he was leaning in trying to get hit. And like I said, he's the kind of guy who wouldn't survive in the olden days. You know, Don Drysdale, Bob
Right, they'd
killed,
get him off the plate.
They would have killed him. They would have absolutely killed him. Roger Clemens killed him. Nowadays, you don't see that as much here, but it'll happen. It's just a matter of time. The way my philosophy is, you want to get hit so much, here you go. You know, I don't like that. That's not I think that's a cheesy way to do it. But once again, that's a worry that eventually someone will connect with him. But I like the player. I mean, he's got a little bit of everything. You know, he's got should have a full time job. You never really trust the Mets with these things. You never know what they're thinking. Is I can't. I think they're more stable now than in past years. But it's hard to trust the Mets on what they might do. Yeah. But I do like the player. I think he gives you a little bit of everything. You can get him late, which is always nice.
Yeah. Emerging power. I mean, hard hit rate creeping up last season to the highest of his career, a little over 37%. Like I said, he could give you a few stolen bases as well. Like I said, great on-base percentage guy, 14.3 walk per nine so far in 683 at-bats. So, someone to look at your drafts, Brandon Nimmo. Another guy who's, I tell you, as a Yankee fan, you and I, we kind of, well, at least me, I can't speak for you, I don't hate the Mets, but we like it when the Yankees are better than the Mets. But the Mets are developing a nice little core here with Ahmad Rosario as well. 2018, average wasn't that great, 256, but 9 home runs, 24 stolen bases. 58 games leading off, 89 games batting seventh or lower. I guess that'll determine, how much of an impact he can make on the base paths. But 24 stolen bases, obviously a good stolen base guy. Emerging offensive skills. It's 41% chase rate. That's a bit concerning. But what are your thoughts on Ahmad Rosario?
I think as a Yankee fan, and I was kidding about the boo before. I couldn't care less about the Mets as far as rooting for them to do bad. The Mets mean nothing to the Yankees. We play them four times a year, so you have to hate them four times a year. Other than that, it's all about fantasy for me. I have Met players on my team. I need them to play well. I have Cano. I said in a bunch of leagues, so I need him to hit. I have Thor. I have Mats. I have Wheeler on lots of teams, so I need these guys to hit. Or pitch. That's just the way it is. I root for my fantasy team. I don't really root against the Mets. Do I want the Yankees to be better than them? Well, I want the Yankees to be better than everybody. So, yeah, sure. Right. But it has nothing to do with the Mets. I never understand the hatred between the Mets. I said the Yankees play them four times each year. I'll hate them during those four times. I think it's silly that the Yankees don't play the Mets during spring training. The Steinbrenners
are afraid. Yeah, I don't get that. You're right.
It's just silly. The fans want it. Right, the fans want to see it. We have better ratings on the TV, so you think the Yankees would want it. So I've never understood that. I think it's just silly. As for Rosario, I like him. I do. I think there's some upside there. You can get him as a middle infielder. You don't have to get him as a starter. And I think there's definitely some power upside. Once again, was a prospect, a good-sized prospect there. So I think you'll be okay there. And the fact that you can get him later, I think is great, which I always like guys. I think there's some value there when you can get him. And would 20 home runs surprise me? No, it wouldn't. I think he could hit that. I think he can, he can hit that. Bottom line is, I think he's going to steal you some bases, which is what I'm looking for. I keep saying this over and over again.
Else.
Later in my drafts, I look for guys who can steal stolen bases. He's a middle infielder that can steal stolen bases, who I think will get better, has upside in other categories as well, where maybe he can have a fantasy average. I mean, not going to hurt me, not going to help me. Power, I imagine a 12 to 15 range around there. I like the Rosario. I like the upside.
Yeah. There's a few players on this Mets team I like. Obviously, I mentioned Pete Alonso. Jeff McNeil, going to start the season playing third base. He's also going to have that second base eligibility from last season. Kind of a late bloomer, I guess, right? Good contact hitter, doesn't strike out much. A little bit of power, which emerged out of nowhere last season, George. And he's on one of my teams so far, and I wouldn't discount the fact that I might take him in another couple of these leagues that I'm drafting this week. But that power came out of nowhere. I mean, he'll hit for average and 380 on-base percentage in the minors. So the guy, disciplined hitter.
He did come out of nowhere. He was not a prospect. This is not a big-time prospect. And all of a sudden, yeah, guy developed. We see this all the time in baseball. I mean, it's sort of a guessing game in the draft of who's going to emerge and who's not. And McNeil was someone, they didn't really see this from. My problem with McNeil is this. What's going to happen when everyone's healthy? Where is he going to play? He's sort of that super utility guy. We don't know if he can succeed in the outfield. We have no idea. The Mets don't know. And Cespedes, maybe he's back at the All-Star break. Maybe he's not back at the All-Star break. Who knows with Cespedes? But what if left field doesn't work out for him? He can't play the outfield. Then there's no spot for him. The Mets already have too many infielders for less spots, with or without McNeil. I said Dominic Smith is an extra. Jed Lowry is an extra. It's going to be a problem here. So McNeil will be an extra if he can't play the outfield. If he can play the outfield, well, then you're pretty solid there until Cespedes, if and when he returns, which, let's face it, we have doubts about this. Sure. Maybe it's the All-Star break. Maybe it's 2020. Who the hell knows? So you'd be okay. You worry about the problem then half a season from now. But like I said, if he can't play the outfield, you pretty much have a wasted guy here.
That's important for him to get off to a good start. I mean, that would eliminate any concerns, because if the guy's hitting, they're going to find a way to, hopefully. I mean, it is the Mets, but and they do some strange things, but they should find a way to get his lineup in there, his bat in the lineup if he's hitting well. Robinson Cano on a lot of your teams, like you said. I mean, I was looking for all reasons to avoid him based on, the PED suspension from last year. But look, this guy came back, and in 80 games after that suspension, you just did what he always does. I mean, the guy looks like he still has a lot left. And I think, 285, 20 home run season, not out of the question. A highest hard hit rate of his career at 41.5, and still basically generally affordable in fantasy drafts.
He better have a lot left, right? For the Mets to take on that contract, he better have a lot. Listen, the Mets are they're praying that the DH comes in the National League, because he's made for that in a couple of years.
Yes.
They'll need to put him there. He can hit. And you said he can hit. All right. So I'm not really worried about him hitting. He did fall in drafts. Second base is not deep, yet he still fell. I mean, he was hitting home runs in Seattle. Not like Citi Field's all that much worse, if any worse, as far as the hitter's park goes. So I'm not truly worried about that. I think the average will be plus. He's having a very good spring. I think the reason why he fell is simple. People think, well, the reason why he played so well throughout his career was steroids, and that he finally got caught. I find that a little hard to believe, although there is some fire there. There's been some rumors that's why Cashman didn't make all that much of an effort to resign him, because he knew this. Maybe yes, maybe no. I think it was the contract, and Cashman knew this was going to be a bonehead contract at the end of the at the end of it, where he's not going to be able to live up to what he's making when he's 38, 39 years old. But once again, you do worry that. But I also I find it difficult to believe that this is the first time he got caught. What, they never tested him? They test everybody. He just got stupid all of a sudden? No, I think the steroids probably started a little later, and he was just dumb about it.
That's a good point. What about Michael Conforto? 5 home runs this spring. Last year started the season a little slow. He was recovering from shoulder surgery, but still at the end was able to put up some pretty good power numbers. 28 home runs, 82 runs batted in, and 543 at-bats. Needs to hit a little better against that curve. Batting average against the curve, 150. The change, 211. Slider, 221. What are we thinking about him? I mean, the power's real, right? I mean, and you look, basically last season, he got better as the season wore on as he continued to heal from his off-season surgery. I mean, 273 batting average and a 539 slugging percentage in the second half. I mean, you think the 2019 is going to be his full coming out party?
I do. I think he's going to have a big big season here, once again, assuming health. Last year, the Mets brought him back too early from the shoulder injury. And that's not all on the Mets, by the way. He wanted to play also here. I think he's fully healthy now. We're seeing what he can do. I think 25-plus home runs is coming. You know, I do. So I think that's going to be fine here. I wouldn't shock me if it's a plus average. I think everything's plus. I think this is one of the I don't want to throw around the word upcoming stars in baseball, but I think he's becoming that kind of player, where he's going to be a household name, a guy you want on your team, can do everything. Now, yes, he does have problems with the curve. He does have problems with left-handed pitching at times, but that's not surprising. I just think he's going to get better and better.
Yeah. J.D. Davis doesn't have a job right now, but, I mean, if there is such a thing as a sleeper, and you know, we know that they're really, with so much information being out there, basically a guy... power hitter, career 53.8% ground ball rate is a bit concerning. But if the Mets get in trouble, have some injuries, I mean, the guy has played first base, third base, outfield in his career. I think he's just a guy that maybe we should keep on our radar as someone that we could look at a filler down the road. Just keep him on your watch list.
Listen, a watch list is always important. I do use them on my fantasy teams, guys I want to keep an eye on. Guys maybe first to pick up when I have my injury or I have an underperforming player. Maybe that, in my draft, Joe, a 27th, 28th pick in my league is generally a dartboard throws. See if I can hit a bullseye. I may have taken Forrest Whitley, a top prospect for the Houston Astros, because I know their starting staff has some issues, thinking he'll get called up eventually. Now, I wouldn't expect him to get called up till June, and I know damn well, odds are I'm not going to be able to hold on to that roster spot. But maybe I don't suffer injuries. Maybe things are going well and I can hold on to Whitley. You know, that's what I use here. And it's great if it works out. But if not, these are the guys that I'm going to move on to pretty quickly. Move on from pretty quickly.
Move on from. Yes, good point there. Mets starting pitching on paper, real good. I mean, Steven Matz has kind of fallen to the wayside again. But Zach Wheeler, I mean, I'm believing in him. Fine spring, good second half to last season. I mean, everyone basically knows about him. No secrets, right? Fully recovered from Tommy John surgery. But you are the closer guru. So Edwin Diaz, man, look at his numbers, man. Are you concerned about Edwin Diaz? After having a season basically for the ages last year,
I'm not concerned about Diaz. I think he's one of your top closers. Someone who if I'm grabbing a closer early, he'd be one of the top two guys, either him or Trainin. No issues with him whatsoever. I know Familia is back there, but he'll be a setup man. He's not going to really threaten for that job. I have no issues with Diaz.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So what are we thinking in terms of their over under, George? I believe it was 85.
Around there. Like I said, I love this pitching staff. DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler, Matt. I know Matt's been getting lit up in spring training, but if he figures things out, yeah, Vargas is a nobody at the fifth spot, and I think they should look to upgrade that. But the hitting should be better, right? They're no longer going to be losing 2-1 games. They have a Jacob DeGrom problem last year where they couldn't score any runs for him. That shouldn't be as big an issue this year. So I like the Mets. I think A5's right about. I'm going to take the over here.
Okay. All right. I could see that. Should we talk about the Marlins at 63-98, 63 over under? You initially said under.
Oh, I'll stand by that. I'm going under. I think they're terrible. They play in a really, really tough division. Remember, that's 76 games they got to play against the Braves, Nats, Mets, and Phillies. That's rough. That's so rough. I don't know how many games they can win of those. Yeah, I'll take the under easily of 63.
Now, there's got to be some redeeming qualities on this team, right? Lewis Brinson, former top Ranger and Brewer prospect, 5 home runs this spring, almost 52% fly ball rate last season. This guy has an underlying tremendous skill set. I mean, hampered by a hip injury last season that might have hurt him a little bit. Post-hype sleeper for you, Lewis Brinson? Got to be something we could find here.
Well, I mean, listen, you're looking at the team here. They're rebuilding. We know that, right? I mean, they have a whole bunch of ex-Yankees on the team. Neil Walker, Starlin Castro, Curtis Granderson. There's some issues there. You're looking around here. They better hope Brinson turns out to be something. I mean, they really better hope.
Yeah. Thinking about because what they traded away. Yeah.
There's nobody else. There's just nobody else.
Sandy Alcantara, Jorge Alfaro dealing with a little bit of a knee issue too.
I mean, I was talking about the hitting. I didn't get to the pitching. I love Sandy Alcantara.
Okay.
Sandy Alcantara, he might be something. He's in the Ozuna trade, and he might be something. Yeah, you know, right. I wish they'd give him more of a chance. I don't think he's going to break spring with break spring training with the team. When spring was going to say training camp, got football and baseball mixed up there for a bit. You mentioned Jorge Alfaro, by the way. He's another guy I like, but he's not Realmuto. He's not Sanchez. Not someone you're going to build your team around.
Oh, no.
But Alcantara is the guy.
I'm trying to find something here.
out of all the trades they've made, Alcantara might be the guy that brings back something. Maybe. Brinson, I just don't know. Don't know if he's going to make if he's in any way near justify the Yelich deal. Stanton, we know they gave away to get rid of the contract, right? That's what they did there. So it's funny they had four great players: Realmuto, Stanton, Ozuna, and Fernandez. We know Fernandez had the unfortunate death. Stanton, they had the trade to get rid of the contract. You know, and the Ozuna and Yelich deals right now, they remain to be seen here. Alcantara might be the only player you have from those four.
All right. Rebuild the Marlins with Alcantara at the center of it. Alcantara and Brinson. We'll see what Derek Jeter could do. We'll be right back with more Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning, just a few days away from opening day, George. I could just picture the Yankee ground crew when they do this, like after the fifth inning
enough.
Or so.
Right, let's move on from that, please. I'm not so sure how much I liked it when it was back in, I don't want to say in style, but back when they first started.
Right.
God. Just drag the infield, please.
And get off the field, right? So once you're done drafting your season-long fantasy baseball teams and the Major League Baseball season is in full swing, it's time to swing for the fences playing daily fantasy baseball with DailyRoto.com, who is looking to make someone their eighth millionaire winner. If you are playing MLB DFS on DraftKings or FanDuel and not using DailyRoto.com to help set your lineups, you're doing it wrong. Save 10% on winning MLB DFS advice with an early bird special using promo code FNTSY, where you'll get lineup alerts and weather updates, fantasy projections, and millionaire creating lineup optimizers. That's the 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use promo code FNTSY and get your 10% early bird discount today. So stay tuned. About 15 minutes, you got my buddy Cam Stewart and this man alongside of me here, George Kurtz, with Weekend Fantasy Update. What could the good listeners expect to hear today, my man George Kurtz?
I can't get YMCA out of my head now.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
That's all that's going in my head now is
well, just think of they also recorded Macho Man and let's see.
In the Navy.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff there.
They're catchy tunes. I mean, I'm not saying I don't like the I don't like it. I just can't get them out of my head now.
If you had to be a village person, who would you be? Would you be the Indian, the construction worker? Who would you be?
What was it? The Indian, the construction worker, the police officer, and what's the other guy?
Yeah.
What's the other one?
The
cowboy?
Well, the other one, there's... Well, no, I don't think there's a cowboy. There's a guy that's dressed.
Cowboy?
I guess he's a biker. Maybe he's all in black and got the black cap.
Oh, all
maybe
right, all
picture,
right.
Yeah, I could picture you with that. Yeah.
No, I can't ride a motorcycle, so I can't be that. I'm not Indian.
Can you ride a bicycle?
God, I haven't done that. It's been a while. They say it's like riding a bike. You never forget, man. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see if you never forget. I haven't ridden a bicycle in decade, two.
Really?
I don't have a bike. I mean, I don't have one here. I never had one when I lived in an apartment. Where are you going to put it? So it's been a while. My kids have bikes, but they're too small for me. But I wouldn't mind. Now I want to ride a bike later. See if I can do this thing.
There you go. There you go.
It'll be your fault. Go on eBay.
Buy a bike. Buy one of those 70s with the banana seats. You know, the long seats there.
So uncomfortable. God. At least I think they used to have a Huffy back then. At least they had the nice cushiony seats.
I had an Apollo Racer back in the day.
But the one I remember was definitely, I think it was Huffy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Huffy was a brand, I think, yeah. And some of them had speeds, right, like 3-speed or 5-speed or whatnot. I guess we're reliving our youth. But
I would say I wouldn't mind. It's been forever since I've ridden a bike. Yeah, I've never ridden on a motorcycle or a motorbike. I did a passenger on one, but never really rode one myself. I probably would kill myself. I know people who have done it, but I haven't. I think I'd
closest
be scared.
I've come a moped, like we rented mopeds. We were in Key West, Florida, a few years back. A lot of fun. But not a motorcycle. I think I would like to try riding a motorcycle, but haven't yet. But mopeds in Key West, pretty cool.
I think I'd be a little afraid. Bitching. You know, I'm so used to being in a car where you're protected by the steel and glass. Mm-hmm. And I think
maybe Gabe's right. Maybe you don't leave the compound.
I leave the compound, Gabe. It's not on a motorcycle.
Okay.
Is Gabe driving a motorcycle?
I don't know. Maybe
he looks the type, doesn't he? You can see him with all the motorcycle gear that he would do it. That's Gabe Morency we're talking about, by the way.
Yes.
Who makes fun of me that he thinks I never leave the compound. It's just so not true. I'm going to the gym later. I'll be leaving, Gabe.
There you go.
But yeah, I think I'd be afraid on a motorcycle. I do. A little worried until I got used to it. Anyway, you like being in control of things. Car, I know how to control a car. I'm a good driver. Like driving. Mm-hmm. Motorcycle, I have no freaking clue.
All right, well, there goes the Harley I was going to get you for your birthday. All right.
Damn!
all right, so let's talk some more baseball the end of the show. NL Central, Brewers were 96-67 last season. 86.5 is their over-under. They got some concerning news, Mr. Closer Guru. Corey Knebel, slight tear in his right elbow. Still going to get some additional opinions. Ulnar collateral ligament damage. Ugh. TJ or rehab, I guess we'll see, but that's why they're talking maybe Craig Kimbrell as maybe an option for them.
Well, they have multiple injuries there. As far as Knebel, you're right, Evil Knebel. He's got what they're trying to determine now. Apparently, he always had a tear there. And listen, all athletes probably have tears there. It's the degree of tear. Has it expanded? Has it gotten more? How much worse has it? Was it a 20% tear and now it's 45? You know, what was it, 45? Now it's 65. You know, it's that sort of thing they have to determine here. Can he pitch to a rehab? Tanaka can, although Tanaka's lost velocity. Adam Wainwright was able to until he completely tore it. So bottom line is you just don't know. Either way, he's going to begin the season on the IL. I'd be shocked if he doesn't. Yeah. He hasn't pitched in a while. He'll have to begin the season on the IL. Jeffress is also out for them. I know what you're thinking. Oh, Hader, no problem. But they don't want Hader in that role. They want Hader to be in a Dylan Betances role where he can get 4 or 5 outs. Then you can pitch in the 7th inning and the 8th, or even the 6th and the 7th. Once again, give you those multiple outs when you really need him because he's that dominant.
Right.
But right now, he's going to have to begin as the closer. Now, it could be where, he pitches 4 or 5 outs, the 8th, 10th, of the 9th, but that's what he's going to have to do here. But this is also why you're hearing about Kimbrel. And it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think Knebel eventually is going to be out for the year. Right? And then you're down a reliever anyway. You're down at one of your best relievers, if not one of the better closers in the game. So there's an issue here. I think it makes sense. But obviously, they couldn't come down to contract terms. Or maybe it's just because Kimbrel wants to go back to Atlanta. He knows they're interested, and he'd rather play there. Used to play there. Maybe still has a home there. Who the hell knows? That sort of thing here. But I was surprised. I'm still surprised Kimbrel hasn't signed with somebody. You know, once again, we all know his contract demands were so out of whack. He went 6 years over $100 million.
It all depends on if he's come down a little bit, you know, from his demands. Maybe that's part of it.
He better have, because he's not getting anywhere near it. Right. The man had to be replaced during the World Series last year because he had no idea where home plate was. He just picked the wrong year to demand this.
Right. I agree with
you. Let me ask you this. I mean, doesn't the fact that Boston has made no effort to resign him tell you something? What do they know? They're going into this season with their closes at Ryan Brashear and Matt Barnes. Ugh. This team has no bullpen, yet they've made no effort to sign Kimbrel. Yes, some of it is because they're trying to save money. They knew they were going to have to re-sign Sale. He's got the monster contract. They're going to have to give out, I don't know how much the Mookie Betts, $400 million. You know, he has to be re-signed. Xander Bogaerts is up this year. He's going to have to be re-signed, and maybe they don't re-sign him. You know, they got a lot of contracts coming up here, and maybe that's also another reason why they haven't made much of an effort in Kimbrel, feeling it's easier to replace a closer than it is at these other positions. And they're right, by the way, as far as that's concerned. I'm just surprised they've made, especially now that his price must have come down now.
It had to have. I mean, come on.
Right? Could you get him at 1 year, $10 million?
You know, it remains to be seen. We'll see. I mean, I'm sure he's not going to sit out the season. He's not.
You would think not.
Yeah. So, what'd you think about the Red Sox, by the way, since you brought them up? Sale, does it make you more comfortable, you know, knowing that, you know, you figure that the Red Sox did their due diligence in terms of, because there's always been like questions, is there an underlying injury that, you know, we have to worry about with Sale? Does it make you more comfortable, let's say, if you're a Sale owner in fantasy or going into a draft, you know, within the next few days, saying, hey, you know, got the stamp of approval from the Red Sox, you know.
Does it make me more comfortable? I guess I get where you're going with this, and the answer would be yes, because they're not giving out $150 million, $145 million. That's new money. I know that's being reported as $160 million. That $15 million includes this year. So it's $145 million new money. They're not giving that out unless they believe he's going to stay healthy. But still, you know it, I know it. Last couple of years, man, end of the season, he's had problems. You know, he can't make it through. You know, so he's slight build. You know, he's built like Pedro Martinez, same sort of thing, slight build. He's not built like Roger Clemens, that big, you know, burly, monster legs, that sort of thing. But, you know, you look at it still. The numbers may not be the same, but he makes his starts. You know, 27 starts last year, 32, 32, 31 were the years before that. So I'm not all that concerned. I still would draft him top five starting pitchers. But if you're asking me, would I take him or maybe somebody, you know, I'd rather have Verlander. You know, Nola would probably rather have Nola. Right, so I do have some concerns there, but not crazy concerns.
Right, right. So the 86.5 of the Brewers, over or under?
Man, they've got problems already. They're going to have more problems. The starting staff scares me. Oh, I think it's a good number.
Love the offense.
They're going to hit. They're going to win a lot of 9-8 games here. They're going to have to do that. Give me the over slightly.
All right. Cubs have an 88.5 over under. They won 95 games last year. I mean, how much longer do you think Joe Maddon could be their manager? Do you think that his time is? Do you think doesn't it seem like they're getting tired of him?
Yes, I think they are getting. I mean, it's amazing, right? They win a World Series. Right, the first time in forever. You would think he'd be a god there. But he does so many weird things. You know, he does so many weird things. It's hard to trust what he does. Because he does so much out-of-the-box thinking. And listen, I like out-of-the-box thinking. I do. But sometimes it's unnecessary. It's just unnecessary. Right. You don't need to do the out-of-the-box thinking. And he does it over and over and over again. So I do have some concerns there with him. I think this is his last year, depending on how far the Cubs go, if they make the playoffs and how deep they go into it. And I don't think they're making the playoffs. And their outfield is Schwarber, Almora, Hayward. Ugh. Not a lot of offense there.
Ian Happ just got sent down.
That was a shock. He was not happy about it.
Yeah.
Get it? Right. Not happy.
Yeah, very good. I like it. But
I'm trying. I'm trying. But it comes down to this. And you're starting rotation, Lester, Hendricks, Hamels, Yu Darvish went healthy, Quintana. I mean, there's no ace there.
Yeah, people trying to make a case for Quintana. I mean,
he's terrible.
Like, so that's 3 years ago for me. Yeah, exactly, at best. Yeah.
Listen, the Cubs are trying to justify trading Eloy Jimenez for him. That's going to end up being a big mistake. as Quintana is not what they thought they were getting. He's nowhere near an ace. They have a whole bunch of number three starters here. That's really what it is. The bullpen's already a mess, right? Morrow's out until at least May. Strope, they hope to have him back by opening day, but that's iffy. You know, so they've got some issues, the Cubs do. They do have some issues there. They're going to have to work out here. I have them under. I don't think they make the playoffs this year. I think they go under.
How much of a regression do you take out of Javier Baez? I mean, still going pretty high in drafts, like a second round. But are you worried about his free-swinging ways? You think that finally catches up to him?
Well, he has the old 11th commandment rule, right? Thou shalt not pass without being swung at. Yeah. He likes to swing, which works sometimes, but you'd like to see a little bit more plate awareness. You know, and not swing at everything, and I mean everything. Because pitchers, once again, they'll start to pitch around him a bit.
Yep.
You know, so bottom line is this. I'm not worried about him. I'll take him. You know, I like the fact that he's eligible, it seems like, everywhere, second, short, third. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I have some worries.
Right. Cardinals 88 and 74 last year, 88 over under. Guy that intrigues me on this team, Harrison Bader. I think his glove is going to keep him in the everyday starting lineup. I know Tyler O'Neill was given some love because he's been hitting a lot of home runs in spring training. But any thoughts about Harrison Bader in terms of you know, a little power, a little speed combination there?
His nickname has to be Master, right? Has to be. I mean, come on. You know locker room humor as much as I do. There's no way his nickname's not Master.
I'm sure he took a lot of grief.
Yeah, it has to be. All right.
And his dad, too, and his uncle. So
yeah.
Every male in that Beta family. Right?
A lot of masters. A lot of masters. You know, it's funny. You know, I don't know how this ever comes up. When you were younger, you know, my godmother always used to send me, when she sent me birthday cards or Christmas cards or whatever, it was always, you know, Master before my name. Mm-hmm. You know, do you do that with Harrison? Master Harrison Bader. I mean, really? Do you do it? You know,
you do it, and you kind of, you know, giggle like you know, as you put. Yeah, exactly. Right. You said Master.
Right. So I don't know. Just strange. Anyway, Cardinals. Like what they've done. You had Goldschmidt, then you re-sign him. That's fantastic. Carpenter, I think he'll have a. I don't know what happened his first half last year, but he was great in the second half. DeJong, I'm fine with that. Shortstop Colton Wong, you can live with those two. Azuner. I know you like Bader. I don't know what they're going to get out of Dexter Fowler. I think Tyler O'Neill has to play. He's one of their top prospects, so he has to play. And I don't think it's going to be center field. I think it is probably right field. So I think Fowler is the one he's going to push for there. Or maybe Fowler goes to center if Bader can't play and O'Neill takes over there. Either way, I think O'Neill has to play eventually. Like the starting staff, Mikolas, Flaherty, Wainwright, Walker Hudson. It's not great. It's not. Mm-hmm. But at least you got a nice top two here. Jordan Hicks is going to be your closer there. And the man throws
nice.
Hard. And I mean hard.
105, right?
Yeah. I was able to get in earlier drafts. I always believed in him. In earlier March, I was able to get him for a song. You get him 16th, 17th round. His ADP is coming up much higher now as everyone else realizes that he's going to be the closer there. Miller might get some saves as well. You know, and teams have a heavy left-handed lineup. And he wasn't needed earlier in the game. But Hicks is the guy you want there.
Yep. So the 88 over under for them, for the Cards.
Man, it's a high number. Once again, I'll give them over as well, but it'll be slightly over.
Like in Flaherty, what he's been doing, and I think he could end up being a full breakout guy. So what are your traditions for opening day, George?
Nothing like opening day in baseball. Yeah, you know me, Joe. I'm a football guy. I'm a hockey guy. But baseball opening day is it's special. You know, it'll feel special. You're opening up Yankee Stadium again. I know it's not the old Yankee Stadium, but with all the bunting that'll be going around there, Yankees should be a great team playing Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if I have any tradition. I'm watching the games, obviously. You know, the games will start at 1 o'clock. I'll have all the TVs up here. I'll be home. I'm reffing that night, so I won't get to watch too many of the night games as I won't get home. But just enjoying the games. I'll probably order a pizza or get a sandwich, something like that, and enjoy. That's my routine.
A couple of hot dogs, maybe. All right. Well, enjoy it, George. Good talking to you. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for Sean. Great job producing our show, Roto Experts in the Morning. Stay tuned for Weekend Fantasy Update. You got Cam Stewart, my friend George Kurtz as well. And we'll check you out next weekend. Enjoy opening day, people.